The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Like, Batman's been going strong for 80 years.
I'm sorry, I did not realize I was sitting amongst big Batman.
You won't believe what happened with Watley today. It got back to him that I made this little dentist joke, and he got all offended. Those people. It's going to be so touchy.
Those people. Listen to yourself.
I did not realize that you were, like, king or president of the big Batman fan club. This is news to me.
No, I mean, this is, I mean, is Batman fantastic? Yeah, Batman's fantastic.
You think that dentists are so different from me and you? They came to this country just like everybody else in search of a dream.
Watley's from Jersey.
Yes, and now he's a full-fledged American.
You're fine.
You're
he's
just
fine.
Batman ignorant.
I don't think I'm Batman ignorant. I think I am.
You're a Batman hater.
You're anti-Bantite. There we go.
Kramer, he's just a dentist.
Yeah, and you're an anti-Dentite.
I am not an anti-Dentite.
You're a rabid anti-Dentite.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
No Mark Chamora. He's out of the country. No Jen Latta. She might still be in the state on her way out of the state for college game day, as she does during, you know, football season on Friday. So we turn to the irrelevant one. Mr. Irrelevant, Alex Stroph, next couple of Fridays, going to be hanging out. So basically, it's going to be an extended version of Green Bay Game Day, the show we do together, Strophy, on Sundays. This Sunday, up at Lambeau Field with our guy, Super Bowl champion, JB Jarrett Bush, amongst other characters.
Our guy.
You're not a morning person, are you?
What makes you say that?
I mean, just the entire body language and demeanor since you walked in this morning.
I mean, I am a little groggy, yes.
Yeah.
But I am thrilled to be here with you, Joshy.
There's a like a little missing pep in the step in the voice, yeah, too, Joshy.
Is there?
I wouldn't say little. There's a lot of pep missing.
All right, let me do my best to crank it up a little bit over the course of the next 2 hours. But I'm thrilled to be here with you, Gabe. I don't know why we're coming out of the shoot 2 minutes in going, "Hey, Stroph, pick it up." I hadn't even cracked my mic yet.
I'm not saying you have to pick it up. It was just an observation that you're very clearly not a morning person.
Very clearly seems insulting, first off. But no, I'm not a morning person. I work in the afternoons here. I like evenings.
What's the earliest you would wake up if you did not have to come in? Like, typically on a typical day, typical Friday, what time are you waking up?
Usually not for at least another half an hour. 7:30?
You keep telling me you wake up at 7:30 when we chat back here behind the scenes. And I just never believe it because you sound like you rolled out of bed 10 minutes before every time you walk in.
Well, that can't be accurate, but maybe 15 minutes before. No, it's 7:30 to 8 o'clock typically.
Okay, all right.
Maybe 8:15.
We're slowly peeling back the truth.
Maybe 8:15?
How many times does your better half have to tell you, all right, get up
every day?
Every day.
I mean, geez. In fact, even today, I had my eighth alarm go off. Eighth, not seventh. See? Eighth.
See?
And she goes, "Hey."
He's insulted that we picked up on him very clearly not being a morning person,
right.
And now he's laying out
all
the
traps. Here's the issue. All right, I walked in 25 minutes ago. I said, "Good morning, fellas."
Yeah.
And there was no pep in your step. You said, "Hey, Stroph." Joshy said, "Hey, a little bit more pep in his step."
Yeah.
But you look like you went to bed 3 hours ago.
I mean, that's always a possibility.
Hey,
that's always a possibility. Stroph. But again, when the lights come on and these microphones, you know, the cameras fire up on our YouTube stream, we've got the energy.
But
we bring it.
But immediately I'm in the crosshairs.
I mean, well,
look, I've got plenty of energy this morning.
Look, bud. Yeah, well, now you do because we woke you up. Look,
this is just the way it works. Like, you're the new guy here.
Okay.
You're the new guy here. I'm sure it happened with you and Jew when you filled in. It was the two of you. You're the new guy. We're going to gang up on you, and we're going to, you know, well, we're going to pick on you.
Joshy's not good at picking on me. You are.
Why am I not good at it?
Because you lack substance.
Whoa. See, now he's just lashing out.
So if I think most people listening on Mr. Irrelevant would disagree with you.
From what I've heard, it seems like the substance that Joshy's providing on your show when it comes to picks have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm. That's accurate.
Didn't I just hear you talking to Jen Latta the other day about how you shouldn't reflect on how well you did a week ago? Mm-hmm.
But he's Joshy, not, I am.
Okay, well, Joshy did pick some winners on Underdog.
Two picks in a row, Monday night and Thursday night.
Yeah. Oh, look, don't look out.
Hey, he made me some money last night, so I'm not mad at Joshy.
The other thing that happens, Gabe, here is sometimes I'm insulting Strofe to his face and he just doesn't realize it.
Mm. Yeah, so that I've picked up on. So, for those that aren't aware, I'm a little bit of an idiot.
Sure. Sure.
Only a little bit.
Yeah, just a half a cup.
So sometimes it takes me half a beat to pick up on some things.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes when Josh says words that are over three syllables, I lack the understanding of said over three syllable word, and it goes right over my head until he says, "Hey, man, I just told you you were stupid." And I go, "Oh, okay." And you know what?
Yeah.
Completely fair. Completely fair. So if we need to start our Friday with some hatred and fuel me up by telling me I'm an idiot and that I'm not a morning guy, do what you got
to
do.
See, now he's animated. He's talking with his hands. Uh-huh. See,
we've got to do the great fans of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy that wake up much earlier than me. I'm happy to do it for them this Friday.
Question.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
What do you think the national average is on alarm set in the morning? Because there are some people I know that are avowed no alarm person, and they can just get up.
Yeah, that's strange. That's weird behavior.
They just they Kramer it.
Right.
They mental alarm.
Correct. I also know if you've ever shared an Airbnb or stayed over at a friend's house, you got some people that are 8 alarm guys, where it's like you'll hear an alarm for like 30 minutes and you're like, what is going on?
How is this person not hearing the alarm right next to them? I am 3 rooms down.
What is going on in that room? Are they just ignoring it or are they sleeping through it?
Hey, on behalf of all 8 alarm people, we're sorry. I'm tired. I need to sleep a little bit.
I do set myself 2 alarms. I never needed them when I woke up at like just a classic 7 a.m.
Sure.
What time do you wake up?
4.
Good Lord.
So the 4 a.m. I have started setting 2 because I have, unbeknownst to myself, just turned my alarm off and then gone back to sleep and woken up 30 minutes later and been like, what the heck is going on here? Like, where's my alarm?
Do you not like yourself?
I'm not particularly a fan of myself. Why?
Oh, wow. That got much sadder than... Yeah, I was expecting him to respond with, yes, I do like myself.
I don't know what you get.
Does anybody? Who are these people that are big fans themselves?
I mean, I don't mind looking in the mirror, but...
Well, we know.
Four a.m. is absurd. What time do you wake up, Gabriel?
5.
Okay, see, that's a little bit more acceptable.
I wake up at 5. I've got 1 alarm. It's just 1 alarm, 5 a.m. Because, again, I am the person that I want to be... My wife still needs to sleep. You know, she's got to get up to work, and I'm sure she wakes up when my alarm goes off. I don't want 7 more alarms going off throughout the course of the next how many half hour. Like, okay, let me ask this. And you can chime in, 800-990-3776. How far apart are the 8 alarms you set?
How far apart?
Yeah.
Let me look.
So, you woke up at what time this morning?
Well, I woke up at 6:02.
Okay.
So here are my alarms for this morning.
Okay.
5:35 a.m. was the first one.
Okay.
5:45 a.m. was the second one.
Just walking back into my house with Bubba around 5:35.
Yep. I got up later than you. 5:35, 5:45.
Okay.
Now, granted, I live up the street.
Yeah.
It's about a 3-minute walk for me. So this is easy. 5:35, 5:45, 5:50. Now we get to the 5-minute increments.
Okay.
5:55.
Okay.
Now, 6 o'clock didn't feel too right for me. 6:02 was my final alarm.
Yeah.
So I set 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I also see a 7:06. Is that a
that was not a
break glass in case of emergency?
No, that's the typical alarm.
Oh, okay.
7:06 a.m. is the typical alarm on days that I am not hanging out with you, Gabriel. So
wait, so what does your significant other do when all these alarms are going off?
She's typically up.
This is fascinating to me because, again, I'm trying to be respectful to my wife. In terms of, okay, I got to set one alarm, I got to nail it, so I'm not just constantly waking her up.
All right,
as well.
I got to come clean. I lied to you guys. These alarms are set 1 hour back.
Hold
up. Yeah, go ahead.
How many lies has he told in 10 minutes?
just a few.
I feel like we're an honest show, and he's just coming in here
so
just lying.
So this 6:02 alarm is typically a 7:02 alarm.
Okay.
This 5:55 alarm is typically a 6:55
so
alarm.
So you went through your alarms and
I set them an hour back.
An hour earlier.
Yeah, because I needed to be here. I don't know. I don't know what time I needed to be here. I got here probably later than you would have liked. 6:40 I walked in.
Yeah, it's fine.
A day like today, Fridays, we got guests. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
is there something going on?
Yeah, there's something going on this weekend. You know, quarterback may or may not be returning. Who knows?
Oh, he's returning.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, just making sure.
Well, but also, I don't know if you knew that because, as you mentioned, you know, Joshie has called you an idiot. You have agreed that you're an idiot to a half a cup, and Matt LaFleur must think we're all idiots with this whole limited thing that they keep doing.
Well said.
I don't understand why they keep doing this, Trove. Like, just let us know. And Wilde kind of explained it yesterday. Maybe they're just saving it and keeping it in their back pocket because they want to see how he reacts to 3 days worth of practices and make sure the knee's good before they declare him good to go. But it just seems like Adam Schefter got this game from somewhere, from someone. He didn't just go on Pat McAfee's show the Monday after the injury and go, Vikings game, right? That information came from somewhere. Schefter's very well connected. We all know this. That's why he's the ESPN NFL insider. So, Jordan Love, limited all of last week, does a workout, and I know they had already declared him out internally, not externally, did a workout on the field before last week's game against the Tennessee Titans. How is he not going to be available for this game? Somebody needs to explain this to me like I'm five, how he's not going to be available. Because I fully believe he's playing.
Okay, so I'm with you. Thank you for cutting the music, because I don't really have a conspiracy. It's more so, I think he's just playing it safe, but he doesn't need to play it safe. Right? Like, Love's going to play.
Well, because
he's going to make it through. They ramped him up last week. He went through the warm-ups. We knew he wasn't going to play because we were going to get the Malik Willis revenge game, which really delivered. This week it means a little bit more, right? And I know when Love went down, we didn't anticipate what Minnesota would be through 3 weeks.
No.
We didn't anticipate one of the league's best defenses.
No, they beat up on the Giants after week one. Like, okay, well, the Giants are bad.
Giants.
Who's not going to beat up on the Giants?
I assume you watched them last night, too. They're not that good. But then you beat the 49ers, and you beat the Texans, and you're 3-0, and Sam Darnold is leading the league in touchdown passes.
The way they beat the Texans was impressive.
Yeah, it was never close. So, at the time that Love got hurt, we didn't realize what this game would be and the levels that this game would be at.
It seemed like, oh, if he can come back for that Vikings game, kind of get his feet underneath him, that Rams game could be really important. That Rams game next week is still going to be important.
It will be. It's in conference, but this is much more important. And
yes.
I think Love is pacing at a better rate. So to be in this situation, I would rather LaFleur just shoot it to a straight. But through, 6 years of him as the head coach? He's gotten worse and worse and worse at shooting us straight with that information. So guess what? He's L-I-M-I-T-E-D, limited for the time being, Gabriel. But we'll see him on Sunday.
800-990-3776 is how you can join the show. So now Brett wants to know, if you have to be on the air at 9 in Green Bay, how soon do you have to get up in order to be in Green Bay? People are now fascinated with Josh's time with Strophy's time and what time he has to get up. Yes, Josh.
We have a guest here that I think we need to get to before Jason. Nicole and Aaron called in and she said, I want to educate you guys, which immediately piqued my interest. And I guess it has to do with alarms and setting alarms.
Ooh, okay.
Fun.
All
okay,
right.
Here we go.
Nicole and Aaron going to drop some knowledge on us. Nicole, the floor is yours.
All right. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So I just want to say, Good morning. Now, alarm, you know how you train your dog to go outside with a bell sometimes? Like, you ding it, and then they're like, okay, I gotta go outside. It's kind of the same thing with alarm. So we're training our brain to wake up when it dings. If we continue to let ourselves sleep afterwards, we're telling our brain, yeah, it's fine, don't worry about it, you don't need to get up, go back to sleep for 10 minutes, and then it goes off again, and then you go back, you're never gonna, you gotta just wake up the first time, and don't do that to your wife, please, my gosh. The worst.
Hey, bad news. I'm the worst.
Yeah. Wait, wait. So Nicole's going to give you this advice.
Yeah.
And you're just going to say, no, I'm too selfish
well,
to change.
I assure you,
I see
Nicole,
you, but no.
Nicole, I appreciate the phone call on the inside. But when you start the call, with, you know how you train a dog.
I'm not Pavlov.
You're the one getting the bell over and over.
No, you're not Pavlov. In this instance, you're Pavlov's dog.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I'm not Pavlov's dog. But, yeah, poor lady sleeping next to me this morning. She's usually up before me. But, yeah, those extra 10 minutes, Gabe, they might give me just that extra inch of energy you're looking for.
I could not agree with Nicole more. Yeah. If you can, I think you just have to train yourself to get up. Uh-huh. First alarm goes off. You have to be awake in it's happened to me before too, Joshy, where, you reach over and completely forget you turn it off, but clearly you're awake enough to turn off the alarm and then you fall back asleep. And
that second alarm for me is a safeguard. Most oftentimes I'm either turning it off as I'm getting up or it's going off as I'm like outside with the dog.
Yeah.
Like that second alarm is just a safeguard because I'm prepared because I, like you, Gabe, don't really want to be waking up the other half at 4 a.m. That's not, no one wants to be doing that unless they're going to work at that time.
You're both looking at me.
Well, I mean, so what the answer to the question now, Brett wanted to know what time do you wake up to get up to Green Bay in time for Green Bay game day?
Well, if I'm leaving from Milwaukee, it's like 4:30, 5 o'clock, but I'm going to sleep in Green Bay on Saturday. So
okay.
It'll be like 8:45.
It's just going to roll over the tailgate.
Jared,
right before
Gabe, how you
we
doing?
Start. Dick Van Dyke says, Alec is my favorite aside from Josh, so be nice.
Close enough. I knew what he was saying. You knew what he was saying. Look, give it to him.
We'll give him a voice to text on that one.
Yeah,
just a little mix-up.
Just a little mix-up between Alec and Alex.
Close enough.
Jason Wilde going to help us break down the Packers-Vikings game. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us 3 times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Kind of an unexpected twist on Dude Friday.
I mean, so you think there needs to be some sort of initiation for Strophy so he can officially become a dude for Dude Friday?
I just want to be a dude, Jason.
it's a very arduous process during which you have to qualify.
I don't know what that means. What's arduous?
See what I'm saying, Gabe?
you've already flunked. No, you're in, buddy. You do a lot of work. You do a great job. You're not as great of a dude as, or as virile. How's that? Virile. Not as virile as a dude as Chewy.
Chewy's the dude's dude.
He's a mountain of a man. It's incredible. But welcome. It's great to have you. Did you have trouble getting up this morning, apparently?
I didn't have trouble. I just, per usual, I set, I think it was 5 or 6 alarms. I rolled in about 6:35, 6:40, and Gabe said my energy was low, and he could tell I'm not a morning guy. And they were fascinated by the idea that I, Alex Strofe, need to set multiple alarms because I'm not used to getting up this early. Jason, how many alarms do you set on an average morning?
So wait, do you set like, are you like, this will be too old of a reference for you, but are you like Marty McFly and Doc with all these different clocks in the room with you? Or are you saying you stagger your alarms on, like, your iPhone?
I stagger the alarms on said iPhone between 5 and 8 minute increments, dependent on which alarm we're referring to. But a total of 5 or 6, yeah. And I'll get up in that 20 to 25 minute range, somewhere in there, probably on the later end.
So I have a Google clock. And so when I go to bed, I say, hey, Google, bedtime. And then it says, what time do you want to set the alarm for? And then I say 6:30. And then when it comes to 6:30, it goes off. And then if I want to snooze, there's no bar to hit. I just say, hey, Google, snooze for 8 minutes. And then it snoozes for 8 minutes.
If you are verbally talking to something or somebody, I think you're awake.
Yeah, but I've got a gift to fall right back to sleep. I used to take a lot of the overnight shifts when the girls were babies because, unlike Paula, who once she wakes up, she struggles to get back to sleep, I am a professional get back to sleeper. I can do storms, dogs having to go outside, whatever it might be. I lay back down, and shortly thereafter, I'm back out. I am not a good waker upper, though.
Does she wake up before you, Jason? Because that's the one thing that I have a problem with Strofe's behavior this morning, is like I only have one alarm because I'm waking up at 5 a.m. I can't be setting eight alarms and constantly keeping my wife awake as she's trying to get that last little bit of sleep before she has to get up and go to work.
Yeah, you're a thoughtful guy. I've always said that about you. Paul is usually up already, especially during school days. So I don't really worry about that. She also goes to bed ridiculously early. So I don't feel bad.
What is ridiculously early?
Well, depending upon the girl's activities, she's nice and healthy now. I could not be more thankful. But, after dealing with breast cancer, she does take these meds that make her tired. So she's probably in bed between 7 and 8, which it's like I'm a bachelor. Like I could sit downstairs and eat ice cream and
just dude
play video games. I'd be a total dude.
Guys exactly. Being dudes.
Yeah, exactly. Just sitting around in my underwear. It's great.
Decently big game coming up on Sunday. I want to get to it, but I'm fascinated by the idea of this Hey Google thing. Are you one of those smart homes dudes? Like, are you saying, Hey Google, turn on the kitchen light at 80%? Is your home all connected to this thing next to your bed?
Did you just jam in a dude there just because you wanted to be a dude? Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, just trying to fit in, Jason.
Yeah, you were trying too hard, and we noticed. We're just letting you know
I just want you to like me.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
So, no, we're not over the top of that. I would say that there are times when Pink or Taylor Swift is playing across all the little Google things that we have in every room. We also have these things called pet cubes because we obviously have a lot of pets, which allows us to check on all of our pets in the various rooms they might be in. But no, I'm not coming in going, hey, Google, decrease lighting to 55% or anything like that.
Well, since we're talking percentages, what's the percentage Jordan Love plays?
Oh, God, you're such a professional.
Dude. Wow.
I mean, are we not just, don't we just get down on our knees and thank the Lord above every single day that we have the great Keith Neitzel on our team? So, look, I would say this. Yesterday, they if it was intentional or by happenstance, but I'm sure you guys saw Rob tweeting about this before his account was hacked, that Love didn't do a specific drill during the time that the media was allowed into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the more, to use that word again, arduous drill where they're kind of moving on the run and it might be a little more stressful on his knee. I'm a little bit worried that we've all kind of just assumed that he's coming back. Now, I did get a kick out of, as I think I mentioned to you guys yesterday, when I told Love that LaFleur had confirmed that he had taken team reps last week. And then I said, were those first team reps or scout team reps? And he laughed and said, team reps. So clearly he ran the scout team last week because they never, ever, ever planned on playing him, period.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea last week was for him to get some work, see how his knee felt, do the workout the day of the game. But he was never playing last week. So I'm just a little bit leery of going all in. So I, you know, in my writing and in my conversations, I am still hedging because, you know, yesterday with Steno, Adam Stenovich, the offensive coordinator, you know, he did say, look, we have two game plans. We have one for Malik and one for Jordan. So I still would say that I think he's playing, but I don't, I feel like I felt a lot more confident on Monday than I do on Friday. If that makes sense.
Interesting. I don't feel very good about the Packers' chances Sunday if it's Malik Willis, Jason. Despite him being 2-0 in his two starts, that's fair, right? Like, I am a believer in the Vikings through 3 weeks, and I know not everybody agrees on that, but I am. I don't love Malik Willis's chances against a really good defense. Granted, he did not really see a really good defense the last 2 weeks. Fair or foul?
No, I think that's fair. I mean, look, I think there's reason. And look, I don't know if Sam Darnold is for real or not. I don't know what, you know, I have a feeling the Packers defense is for real. Again, I'd like a little more evidence before I make any sort of proclamation one way or the other. But because I don't think either of the offenses that they've played the last 2 weeks have been all that star-spangled awesome either. That said, like, I don't know what to make of the Vikings offense. I do think that their defense has a pretty good idea of what they're doing, and that whether it's Love with less than 100% mobility or Malik Willis, who may turn into a pumpkin against a better defense, which is second in the league in scoring defense, leading the league in sacks, that would concern me if I were a Packers fan like you. So yeah, I don't think you're out of line there. I gotta be honest. I've told you guys before that I get fatigue about certain topics, and I was talking to Tom Silverstein as we were walking out of the locker room. Like, this is kind of uncharted territory. You know, he's done this even longer than I have, but like, we, because of Favre and because of Rodgers, we really haven't had to play this will he or won't he play game in all of our careers. Like, maybe him going back to like Don Majkowski, but like, you know, when Rodgers, obviously he broke his collarbone twice, once on each side. We knew he was out for a period of time. Now, there did, toward the end of his process of trying to get back, become the question of, will he be back? Will he not? Will he play this week? Will he not? Obviously, I went through that on the radio show for that whole 13 stretch where he was sidelined. But at least there was a little more transparency. Like, they didn't really play the what if or will he game. This has been, now, this is kind of 3 weeks running where we've been part of this. And I think there's a fatigue, not just for me, because look, when Rodgers had other injuries, like, the shoulder injury in 08, after he did not practice all week and then went down to the Hudson Center before the game and proved that he could play and then went out and played really well in a loss to the Falcons that day. Like, after that, there was no question, right? He was playing. When he broke his thumb in 22, maybe they should have sat him down, but they didn't. And there was never any question he was playing. When he had the tibial plateau fracture and the torn MCL on his knee in 18, he came back into the game, and then there was never any question he was playing. So it's just been a different kind of 3 weeks. And, you know, quite frankly, there's a lot of really good stories on this team that I haven't gotten to tell or talk about as much. And I'll be happy when Jordan is fully back and we can stop playing the percentage game, because it's getting a little old.
Jason, just quickly, before we get to Craig Karmazin, so you did say that you are a believer of the Packers defense. I am more hesitant. What makes you say you are a believer in this Packers defense?
Well, now, don't misquote me. I mean, you're such a professional, but I said I want a little more evidence.
You did, but you said you were a believer, but you wanted a little bit more evidence. But when you lead with, I'm a believer...
Yeah, I think when you look at what the arrow is pointing toward, right? More turnovers, more quarterback pressure. Now, again, Will Levis, one game, et cetera. But I do think that Jeff Hafley has not just buy-in from me, but more importantly, buy-in from his guys. And that sounds like kind of a trite, simple thing. But the more I talk to guys, I mean, it was, I don't know if you guys heard this yesterday, but Domofsky asked Hafley about the idea of a player traveling with a top receiver, obviously referring to Jair.
Mm-hmm.
And Hafley's initial answer was about how he believes that, you know, if that's the right thing to do, blah, blah, blah. And I followed up. We got a real good tag team going, him and I. I followed up with, you know, what's the drawback to that? What does that do to the rest of your defense? Because we've been told over the years that if you do that, then it messes everything up for everyone else. And, Joshy, if you can get that before the end of these guys' show, it is his answer, I thought, was very
I can play for you right now, Jason, if you want to be.
God, you're such a professional. What a bunch of professionals except for Strope on this show.
I mean, I've kind of told you guys this a bunch. It's our job to put our best players in position to make plays. So if it's our job to put our best players on their best players, then we need to figure out how to do that. I mean, I'm not just going to walk into a game and say the scheme is just strong enough to stop that great player. I mean, that's just not how I think. I mean, we got to figure out, I mean, how to stop their best players each week. And if that means doing something a little bit different, then it's our job to do that.
Now, just to make sure, that was Jeff Hafley, not Joe Barry, right?
Correct.
Okay, that sounded like, I feel like that's what I heard from Joe Barry last year or 2 years ago. Maybe not, though. Maybe it was a little different. I know you got to get to Craig. I'm sorry to have kept you.
No, it's all good. It's good stuff, Jason.
Isn't that interesting? Is that just yes or no? Because that's the game that Strofe loves to play on Sunday.
It's true.
Is that not really, really interesting?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is very interesting. And we are certainly going to be talking more about that, Jason. We have it penciled in later in the show.
Oh, I can't wait to listen.
Well, thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. As I mentioned, Craig Karmazin is joining us next, but you can join me at the Wisconsin Country Club. Do what I did. Become a member out there. You don't have to worry about assessments, no food and beverage minimums, and just enjoy the beautiful golf course that they have. Took a few friends out there yesterday. They absolutely loved it. Great. The turn bar is fantastic. Great place to hang out for drinks after the round as well. But maybe you're thinking, okay, that's great. I like golf, but I need something for the family as well. Well, Wisconsin Club is tennis, pickleball courts, pool with themed Sunday fun days each and every week during the summer. So get started today and visit thewisconsincountryclub.com for membership information. The Wisconsin Country Club, just a fairway away.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
love catching up with Craig Karmazin each and every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
Craig, you're a busy guy. You travel all over the place. You wake up, find yourself in different time zones sometimes. How many alarms do you set to wake up?
One. I just have the phone alarm.
Okay.
Why is everybody more grown up than me?
Well, I mean, in fairness, you are the youngest one here, but I mean, I think this is now providing you inspiration to potentially set one alarm.
No, six or seven every time.
No, wait, and you're saying six or seven on just your phone?
Yeah, just on my phone.
So, like, the snooze after 9 minutes isn't enough. You're like, I need one, like, at 5:42, 5:44, 5:47.
It's more like 6 minute increments, but yeah, you got the right idea.
Okay, so, I mean, but you're basically snoozing, right? But you're worried that if you hit the snooze, it'll like turn it off completely.
So
and then
I'm glad you asked this, Craig, because if I click snooze on the first one and then, you know, 6 minutes later I've got an alarm, it becomes almost a volcano of sorts where it's just like every 30 seconds after I hit multiple snoozes, I've got an alarm and yeah, that's when I know I have to get up.
But Craig is asking if you just set the one alarm, you can just continue to hit the snooze button.
Yeah, but then what if I accidentally click stop and then, right?
Yeah. So,
I've had bad experiences. I don't want to admit to our boss that I've overslept before, but that's why I set multiple alarms.
I don't think this is immaturity or anything. I think this is just like responsibility. I'm all for what's going on.
But is it responsible when you have somebody else sleeping next to you? Like you have your significant other, Craig, and now they have to deal with all the alarms that Strofe set this morning in order to get here on time.
Uh-huh. I mean, that is their choice. Right, they can choose at some point that they would rather sleep somewhere else, or instruct him to sleep somewhere else. I mean, that is absolutely a part of the process.
Well, the good news is that that has not happened yet.
Well, I mean, but you're going to be back in here on next Friday, Stro.
Yes, I will be.
Do you think she's going to instruct you to sleep somewhere else?
No, because
so she
does that to me, Gabe. She sets multiple alarms too.
Okay,
we're all guilty here.
All right, little tit for tat. Sure.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I got you.
Exactly.
Craig, we know the Brewers are locked into the third seed, so unfortunately, they will not be getting one of those byes. Although I think I feel better after Robin Yount talked to us last week and said baseball's meant to be played every day. So we don't know who the Brewers are going to be playing, but we know that they're going to be the 3 seed in the National League.
I don't understand like the crazy, and I know it's just math, but if you look at the 3 teams that are fighting for the last 2 spots, mm-hmm. right? So there's 3 teams. You have Arizona, the Mets, and the Braves.
Correct.
Each of them have over a 60% chance to make the playoffs, with the Mets being over 70%. So it seems like all 3 of them will make it, right?
that's how that sounds.
It's more likely than not, I guess, based on
But it's
odds.
Not possible. There's only 2 spots left.
I understand.
So.
I understand, so, Craig. I just don't...
Yes, the math is mathing on me there. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, my gut is that they somehow end up against the Braves and that the Braves pull out a big doubleheader on Monday. But a lot of it is in the Brewers' control, right? Of how
they
play
against
the Mets this weekend.
Well, so that's the exciting part that's to me, Craig, is like with the Braves and Mets playing a doubleheader on Monday before the series starts on Tuesday. I think that could potentially be a huge advantage for the Brewers. Instead of them getting an off day, they may have to blow through some of their bullpen because they've got 18 innings to play before they open up a playoff series on Tuesday.
Right. I think, are we in agreement? We don't want to play the Diamondbacks?
Yes, correct.
Do you agree with that?
I would. Am I scared of the Diamondbacks? No. Would I prefer not to play them? Yes. I understand that's a fine hair I'm splitting, but that's the way I feel.
Would I prefer not to play them? Yes. Am I scared of them? Yes.
Correct.
Like, I mean, I think just having played them last year and like, Corbin Carroll was like really garbage for the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
And like, he's back and like their offense is just like, they're in beast mode right now.
Since
like,
June 1st, they've been the best offense in baseball.
Yeah. I want to avoid Arizona.
Craig, I want to flip to the Packers-Vikings game on Sunday. Aaron Jones, obviously.
Before you do that, I just want to let you know that all Brewers coverage here on 94.5 ESPN, part of the Hunt for Brew October, sponsored by Delta Dental.
Aaron Jones makes his return game to Lambeau Field on Sunday, Craig. He said yesterday, if he scores a touchdown, he's doing a Lambeau leap. I think that is, what's the right word? Selfish? Stupid? Idiotic? Is that fair by Aaron Jones to do a Lambeau leap?
I think it's fair by Aaron Jones. I think Gabe is so petty. Gabe is very petty. I didn't realize that until this week. Like,
what
I mean,
did
Gabe,
I do?
You're rooting for a fumble from Aaron Jones?
Yes, he should.
Yeah, I hope he fumbles.
That's not petty.
No, I just want my team to win, and if he fumbles, that increases the chances of my team winning.
Right, but you could say, like, I'm rooting for 5 Sam Darnold interceptions.
Yeah, that
but,
too,
like,
yeah.
Right, but I'm saying, like, Aaron
I mean, outside
Jones,
of I mean, outside of injury, I want all of the bad things to happen. I want all of them to do bad things. I want their best cornerback to get burned in coverage. I want all their defensive linemen to get pancake blocked by the Packers' offensive line. I just want, again, outside of injury, I want all of the bad things to happen to the Vikings on the field this weekend.
So Aaron Jones hasn't earned that, like, hey, I'd love to see Aaron Jones play well and the Packers win. Like, he's not at that
week.
Point in your heart?
No. I mean, I don't know if any player is really going to ever reach that part. Like, I don't want you to play well against my team, because if Aaron Jones plays well against my team, that increases the chances of his team winning. That's how important he is. That's how good he is.
No, I know. But I'm saying, if you knew your team was going to win, like, is there any player that has earned that spot in your mind where you're like, hey, when they play against us, I still want good things for him because of, like, I look at the Packers this year, and you could think I'm crazy when I say this. I look at the Packers this year and the culture of these young receivers and Jordan Love and all of this as a reflection on some level of the unselfishness of Aaron Jones. And I think, you know, leaving the Aaron Rodgers era, that Aaron Jones was so meaningful and important to this team that his legacy will be felt by this team. So I have a warm spot in my heart for Aaron Jones, because I think his leadership last year, when he didn't get a lot of touches, he never said a word, and I think that trickled down to the receivers. I think his leadership was very impactful on these young players, and, you know, and that, to me, I owe him a piece of respect if I'm a Packers.
Well, I do respect him, and there's a reason he was the Packers, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee seemingly every year he was in Green Bay. We did stuff with him with the 10 Days of Hope where he did that, yeah. And I,
like,
I was very involved
you're
with
like,
that.
I don't care if he's good. I don't, like, I want him concussed this week, and I
no,
want
that's not what I said. I said anything short of injury, so that's what I said. Anything short of injury. I'm not wishing concussions. I'm not wishing broken bones. I'm not wishing torn ACLs on anyone, but I guess, I mean, if you guarantee me a win, Craig, I don't care what he does as long as the Packers win.
Packers up by what, 42-49, then he can trot into the end zone?
Sure.
Like, 56 even?
He can break the single game rushing record if you guarantee me a Packers win. But
oh, I don't think Gabe would be happy with the Packers' rushing defense if that happened.
That's true. I mean, that would lead us
good
to
point,
some concerns,
Greg,
about the Packers' rushing
point
defense in,
but,
in their
but back
ability.
Back to the Lambeau Leap, I believe, and it will be interesting, I believe that people who have a 33 Packers jersey will be wearing it on Sunday. And I think that's the good question, right? Like, if you have an Aaron Jones jersey, is it acceptable to wear it on Sunday because you're supporting the Packers, but you're showing a little bit of respect for Aaron Jones? So, like, if you own an Aaron Jones jersey,
are you guys
okay with it being worn on Sunday?
Josh is putting it on the poll. I'm fine. Would I wear it? I would not. And here's the thing, going back to the Lambeau Leap, like, I don't think Aaron Jones deserves to get booed. He should not be booed. Again, to me, it was a Packers decision to let him go, and I get his decision to then want to go to the Vikings and play well there and do that whole thing. We've been through it before with how many ever ex-Packers. That's just kind of where they go. But if you want to get booed, if you're Aaron Jones, you do a Lambeau Leap.
Yeah, and if you're wearing your 33 jersey and he jumps into your lap, I would expect you accidentally spill a little bit of your beer.
Yeah, you
on
push
top
him back
helmet
out there. You don't welcome him in the stands. You push him back out on the field.
Ooh, but I think if you know you have those seats and you wear the 33 jersey, I think you're kind of saying, "Hey, here's a friendly place for you to leave."
Nah,
so I think
better
that's
have
sending a
beer a ready to
message
dump.
No, I think that's a mixed message you're sending. That is. Worse than Strophy hitting the snooze button all those times. I think that is so rude to do. I mean, don't wear the Aaron Jones jersey if you're not going to welcome his lead.
Don't sign with the Minnesota Vikings. That sign.
Well, no, it's not even signing with the Vikings. Like, the Lambeau Leap is a Packers celebration. If you want to do the Lambeau Leap, you have to be a Green Bay Packer. Like, that's just the way it works. Like, if you do it, other player who's done it before, they're trolling the Packers when they do it, just like other teams that do the jump around because they're trying to troll Badger fans at the fourth, you know, in the fourth quarter at Camp Randall Stadium. Like, the Lambeau
Absolutely,
Leap
but
is
he could have, Gabe, I agree with you, and I think he could have answered, if he had answered the question differently, I would have maybe disagreed with you, because if he had said, hey, the Packers fans mean everything to me, they've been part of my life since I became an adult, they've shown all the love, if I score a touchdown, you know, I know they're not, you know, they're not rooting for me, but I can't help but show the love and jump to them. Like, if he had answered it that way, then I think it would be hard to say it's trolling, but I do think with his answer, it's fair to say it's a troll.
Yeah, because that's just, I mean, again, the Lambeau Leap is a Packers thing. Yeah. It's a Packers celebration, and to jump into Lambeau Field, no, you lost the privilege to do that at Lambeau Field when you signed with another team.
He thinks this gushy article in the Players Tribune is going to win everybody over.
Well, look, and I'm going to welcome
Dude,
Aaron Jones
should.
Back. Like,
he's great.
Yeah,
he is great. I'm not
and
saying he's not
he's
great,
Packers,
but he's not
coming
a Packer.
Back. But he's coming back to the Packers eventually. He's going to go into the
but
Packers
saying,
Hall of
like
Fame.
Drew Holiday is in a very similar situation. And I think there were a lot of Bucks fans who were rooting, as much as Bucks fans don't like the Celtics, who were happy for him winning another NBA championship and winning a gold medal. Obviously, they didn't want him to get it instead of the Bucks.
I'm glad he won his gold medal. I don't care that he won an NBA championship.
Correct.
But I'm saying there's certain players who they didn't leave on their own accord. They did so much for our community. They were so invested when they didn't need to be in our community and did so much. And I think impacted people's lives that people are then going to root for them, not above their own team, but want good things to happen to those human beings.
He's a terrific human being. I hope he fumbles 17 times on Sunday.
and gets cut and never makes another penny in the NFL.
No, he can make all the pennies. He can have
or do you want him to do that?
He can have a solid 15 weeks. He can have a really solid 15 weeks. I hope he is the worst NFL running back ever. Two of the weeks of the NFL season when he plays the Green Bay Packers.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
Craig, before we let you go, officially yesterday, we knew this story was out there a week or so ago, but Sidney Moncrief, now an official minority owner of the Milwaukee, Junior Bridgman, with all the success that he has had out off the court, and now he is a part of the ownership group. Your thoughts on Junior Bridgman joining you as a minority owner?
I'm kind of joining him now. He's definitely at another level.
Yeah, but you were there first, so he's joining you.
I may have had like a 10-year head start, but like, you know, he kind of raced past me really quickly in that race.
He was the freeze.
It's so cool because, you know, you think about the modern NBA player and the guaranteed contracts and Bridgman's era, what was even possible, even if you were like the star of superstars. And when you see these stats and see the like top five wealth and overall, what's it called when you look at your overall net worth. I don't know about those types of things. So when you,
you're only the CEO of the company.
Yeah. When you look at net worth in the history of the NBA and you see it's like LeBron James and it's Michael Jordan, and then you see it's Junior Bridgman, like on that list, like right there, you know, at the top. It's just such an amazing thing, an example of what hard work and what intelligence can lead, you know, for athletes, you know, during, as we see now more, but also after their careers. And then to have someone who was a Milwaukee Buck decide that that's where he wants to invest back in this market and in this community is just so huge. And for, you know, for Wes and Jimmy and Jamie to figure out a way to make it work with him, it's exciting. I mean, he's a perfect person to be a part of this ownership group.
Craig, always appreciate it. Looking forward to Brewers playoffs starting next week.
Go Brew Crew.
Craig Carmison joins us every Friday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Are you looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event, and you can get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. That's 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. That's right, Ewald everywhere here in southeastern Wisconsin. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for 60 years. They make it easy. Go to ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh, you may have found quite possibly the dumbest lawsuit I think I have ever seen. So for those who may not be following Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani, first player to ever have 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. He hit his 50th home run last week in Miami against the Marlins. And, you know, of course there was going to be a scrum for the ball. I mean, he already had the 50th stolen base, so that ball was going to be worth quite a bit of money. And there is an auction house that had, you know, been contacted by the person who had recovered the baseball. Uh-huh. They've been contacted, and now it's up for auction. $500,000 opening bid. You can buy it right now for $4.5 million if that's what you would want to do. However, this had to be stopped. This has been put on hold because there is a person, an 18-year-old, who is claiming he had possession of the ball first and had it taken from him.
If you watch the video, you can see the kid who I imagine is the one suing because he is in the background of the person celebrating, looking very sad and even like attempting to reach for the ball and steal it out of the person's hand.
Yeah.
And the video that is from the stands, it's very clearly not in anyone's possession other than the guy that gets it. It's kind of on the ground. There's tables. There's like a group of people all there. And the guy, one guy comes away with it. It's not like, you know, we've seen adults steal baseballs from children's grasps. It was just, it was like a football, fumble scrum.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
a bunch of people on top, whoever comes out.
When in the lawsuit, the language in the lawsuit is like he had possession of it in his right hand. I don't care, man. That's a scrum. Whoever comes out of that scrum with the baseball, that's who the baseball belongs to. So he is suing, saying, I actually had it first. I'm telling you this right now. Secure in one hand, that ain't secure enough, bud. You gotta have both hands on it. You gotta protect that with your life.
Similarly to Junior Bridgman and Craig Karmazin, I am the rightful owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, Gabe. Prove me wrong. I'm the rightful owner.
I was here first.
There is a part of me that kind of thinks, and I don't want to cast dispersions at anybody, but something tells me that somebody reached out to this young fella. More so than him reaching out.
This is an 18-year-old kid, and now I'm just going to assume. I don't know if this is true, but this is a my daddy's a lawyer type energy. It's given off like, hey, Pops, I've got a really good way we can make a couple mil. Okay, I'm going to go get the Shohei baseball.
You've got 0% chance of making a couple hundred mil. Mm-hmm. All you're doing is wasting time and resources.
Yeah, it's just going to be a delay on this auction. Like, there's no grounds to be like, well, I had it, but then I lost it.
Yeah, right. Did you leave the stadium with it? No. Did you ever actually have it for over 2 seconds?
Who went to the Marlins to get it authenticated? Oh, not you?
Yeah.
he's the guy who's now trying to sell it? Like, you know what? This seems super easy to me.
I kind of respect the hustle a little bit. There's no way it's going to work in his favor.
Joshy said the best. Like, what are we going to do? Is if Aaron Jones fumbles on Sunday, bottom of the scrum, well, I had it. But then Rashawn Gary ripped it away from me. Sorry, bud. Whoever comes out of the pile with the football is the rightful owner. This is the one rule the NFL knows for sure.
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable. All Packers, all the time. In 2 minutes, Jen gave it to you.